In their darkest hour, come four brave fighters from another time, another place, another species.
You were expecting maybe the Addams Family?
They're back, and they're back in time.
Hey, Dad, check it out! We're in Shogun!
Welcome, everybody, to Back in My Day. My name is David Petrangelo, and this week, the not-so-stereotypical millennials are going back in time once again, but we're doing it with the Turtles this time, guys, with the Turtles. And we're going back 30 years. Never mind this 25-year business we've been doing. 30 years this time. I am lucky enough to be joined by...
Michael R. Power.
Ian Walter.
All right, gentlemen, we are continuing our rewatch of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies from the 90s. All three movies came out before the mid-90s even hit. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, it is. So ridiculous.
And it's Turtles Back in Time, but not to be confused with the video game, which yes. I was thinking, I always thought this movie that we're reviewing today, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, I always thought it had the subtitle Turtles in Time, similar to the video game. It was only now on the rewatch that I found out it's just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. You know, 2 was called Secret of the Ooze, and they dropped the subtitle in the third one for some reason. I don't know why.
So it's funny, when you look it up, like when you just do a quick search, there is some like DVD or VHS box art that says Turtles in Time on it, and there's others that don't. Depending on which one it is. So I don't know. I think it's one of those like weird things where like they weren't sure if they wanted to keep it kind of thing. And they just like didn't course correct or something like that. But it is weird.
Before or after the video game?
This would be, let's see, actually. TMNT Turtles in Time. I think this would be just before the game.
Right,
nope. The game was just before, or at least the initial release was in 1991 and 92. So like, the game came out just months before this movie. The game came out just months before the movie.
Yeah. Box art that has Turtles in Time as the subtitle. Like if you look it up, you're right. Oh, that's so weird. Okay. So, but
yeah,
I think officially it's not called Turtles in Time.
I think you're right. I think you're right. When you look at it, it's only just like some photos have it and some don't. Anyways, either way, 1993, the game is 92. I thought the game was 94 or something. So it's really just like a couple months difference. But it's funny. My mind went to the same place. I was like, are they supposed to be pulling from the game or vice versa? Like what's going on here? Not the case. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. We're Shredder. Yeah. So that is something that happens. But I don't know this for sure. We can get into this. Ian stepped away for just 2 seconds. But for now, let's get into our overall thoughts. Mike, I'll start with you. Just overall brief thoughts, and then we'll start breaking down parts of the movie after that.
Yeah. So I had really like no memory of this one, except for knowing that it's known to be the worst one. So going into it, I kind of had low expectations, and but wife Power, actually, she couldn't be here because it's a bit late, but she said when she was a kid, she remembers this one being her favorite. So I was like, okay, maybe it's got more redeeming qualities than the internet would have me believe or the review sites would have me believe. And then after watching it, you know, it's not very good. But I will say it's closer in quality to number 2. Than I expected it to be. I expected it to be really bad, but I think it's sort of similar quality to number 2.
Interesting.
And number 1 is obviously the best. And it's probably the worst of the three, but I don't think it's like, I think people love 1 and 2 and think 3 is a stinker. I think 3 is more quality, more closer in quality to 2, and I think 2 is just kind of meh as well. So that's my takeaway after watching all three movies.
Yeah, if you sort of place them in like an order or a rank or whatever, you're seeing 2 and 3 kind of around the same thing. And obviously 1 at the top. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Ian, overall thoughts before we break things down?
Well, you know, expectations are a funny thing, right? Because
Indeed.
I feel like Secret of the Ooze, I was holding on a pedestal from my childhood, and then I was a bit let down when we
watched. The nostalgia for that one is like.
I also remember going to see this in theaters, and though I didn't remember, like, when I was watching, I didn't remember all the details. There were certain parts where I'm like, oh, I remember this. You know what I mean? Like, it would come back.
That has happened with all three of these movies with me. Every single one of them,
So I would say, like, I went in with no expectations or thinking that it was going to be a stinker, like you said, Mike. And then it just kind of rose up in my books from what I thought it was. And I honestly, I think I might even like it better than Secret of the Ooze overall. I think the first one's obviously the best one. And they put most passion into that one, and then as it went on, you know, it got a little goofier, you know, and you know, these movies are aimed for kids, right? So it's like, ultimately, it's a kids movie, and I think that this one was more entertaining. I had a lot more fun watching this one than, but again, I think it's because the whole time I was watching Secret of the Ooze, I'm like, oh, it's way worse than I remember it.
Yeah.
Here, I was just like along for the ride, and I didn't really care that it wasn't like up to standard. So
yeah, I wonder if that's part of it. I wonder if it's because we watched them in order and two dropped so down from one.
In your memory, you have remembered Secret of the Ooze as being a really good, you know, a good movie, which I had too. You know, it's like the things that, you know, it's like the things that you love can hurt you the most. You know, it's like your wife and, you know, who you love the most can hurt you the most. You know, the movies that you love, if they're bad, that hurts the most. It's like what, it's like Spawn all over again, basically.
I was gonna say, it's exactly what you were describing. So for me, I lean a little bit more onto Inside, I think, actually. I actually, you know, you said that this is the one that, was it you or that you said Mike or Wife Power said that you didn't remember this one pretty much at all?
It was me. I didn't remember it at all.
Yeah. So for me, I got way more one-liners and pulls and scenes from this than I thought I would, because I think this might be the one and the first, but I actually think that the second one was the one that I watched the least, because this one I actually remembered quite a bit as I was watching it. Like, little lines that I wrote down in my notes to make sure that I mentioned and stuff. I was like, oh, I remember this. Oh, I remember this. Like all these things that clued in, and that pulls on nostalgia. So that's part of it for sure. But I had a way better time with this than I did with the second one. I thought this was way better than that. Yes, it is weird. Yes, it's really goofy still, but the production's a little bit better. I think the sort of fights are, there's not that many, but at least they're doing more interesting things and they're having fun with it a little more.
I think the action is better than Secret of the Ooze. I think the action is
I think so. Yeah. And part of that is just now they have more money. They have more production. They can do more with the turtles. Like they move a lot better in especially compared to the first one.
They move better, but I actually think the puppetry is worse in this one.
It's not great.
And stuff and like the dot and like the dots on them. Like, I don't know what happened, but
yeah,
the first one,
and they call out those spots.
Yeah, they do.
You know what?
There's a lot of interesting dialogue in this movie.
Yeah, you know, this movie, the biggest problem I have with this movie was the villains for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies are so boring in this movie. Like, there's no Shredder, there's no Foot Clan, there's no mutants. Yeah. It's like, and it's like the climax, like we complain a lot about the climax in the second one, where it's like it's building up this big fight, the Shredder, then Shredder falls in. The climax of this one is even worse. Like, there's no big bad they're building up to, except some British imperialist guy who's like, the Turtles could handle that guy like in the snap of their fingers in a fight. Like, I thought it was
spoiler alert, they don't.
I thought medieval Shredder
is true to form with
was
the gonna Turtles
show
trilogy.
Up or something for them to fight throughout the whole movie. I was waiting, and it was just like nothing. And that like the biggest black mark against this movie for me. It's like, you have the turtles, you have no one interesting for them to fight in the whole movie.
No one that's more cartoonish, no one that's more comic book like they are, right? Like that's the big difference.
Who are they
for
fighting
sure.
in this movie? Just
nameless
thugs. It's not even the Foot Clan, it's not nothing. They're just old.
Well, you don't get to really know
soldiers, I guess. I don't know.
Like, yeah. And you don't get to really know who the soldiers are on either side of the quote unquote bad guys, because there's not enough time to, and there should be more story there, but you're just supposed to just know that this is, you know, the British imperialists and Japan. Like they have a couple throwaway lines about that when the movie first starts about, I think one of the Turtle says in the background something about like, oh, actually, when the British arrived in Japan and blah, 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 or something like in like the 1600s or whatever. And I was like, that's the explanation. And it's like a one-off like comment in the background.
Yeah.
But
you
I think
see what did... I mean about having a bad guy problem. Like,
yes,
like what's the name of this villain? Like, it's the most forgettable villain
Walker.
In any movie that I can ever imagine. Like,
it just literally just has a regular name. Yeah.
Oh, Walker, you're still alive.
Like,
what?
Like, you got to give them something to go up against.
But what they did like... do, what they did do with the bad guys, though, is, or at least their story, I mean, maybe if they had an extra 10 minutes, that would have been more fleshed out and maybe a little bit, may have been a little bit better. But I get what you're saying, Mike. Your point is definitely correct, I would say. They did something more like elaborate or a little bit more like adult almost with the characters, because there's a little bit more like intrigue between the two where they're like cutting a deal so he can use the guns or not use the guns, or they're in like a war and not in a war. His son doesn't agree with the war and there's a little bit of an uprising. Like, those things I wouldn't have expected in a kids Turtles movie, but those motivations are probably too complicated for a kids movie, and they don't give it enough time because they can't, because it's only like 85 minutes or something like that. Why not just put Shredder in there or make a big samurai crazy character or something, like, instead, like you're saying, that would probably work better so that you couldn't lose the footing on whatever this explanation is that they're trying to come up with here for these guys and for this thing. But I don't know, I mean, they wanted to bring them back in time, and I guess samurai makes sense because they can fight them with swords. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's so boring and uninspired. Like, you have living Ninja Turtles, like, you know, when you watch anything Ninja Turtles now, it's like, you know, they're fighting, they're at least fighting something interesting or goofy or comic booky. Like, to have them fighting something so basic and generic, it just doesn't work for me at all. It's just boring, I guess, is the best way to put it. Not fun for kids, not fun for adults. Like, that's why I think it's the worst movie. And, you know,
still fun. I don't know. I thought this was still fun. Like, there's parts of it that don't.
The turtles are having fun, I guess. But
yeah. I mean, you can't really tell because their lips are flapping like paper in the wind. Exactly. But yeah. So. that's definitely a note that I made, is that the puppetry in the mouth movements. The second they said more than one sentence and the camera was on them, I was like, none of this is tracking. It doesn't. None of it's sort of flowing at all. Yeah. Like, everything else about them, I actually was like, okay, it's not terrible, but with the way that they looked, but their mouth, man, it just didn't work.
It wasn't right.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
It's really awkward. I wrote down a couple of like things at the beginning of the movie when they're first trying to like set things up with the scepter and everything, which, by the way, the scene of them pulling all the gifts out of like the bags that April gets them at the beginning of the movie. I remember that scene just as much as I remember the opening scenes of both of the other movies.
I'm like, not peeking. I'm spelunking for Spork Run.
So like, there's a few good ones. There's a few good ones in here for sure. There was that when I'm spelunking. And like,
that was a Donnie line.
Yeah. It's so funny too, because like the stuff that she does get them is pretty ridiculous, and they act like they're like, why does she get him a lamp, like Mikey a lampshade? Like, what is that?
But
why
then is it that makes perfect sense when he wears it on his head, right? It's like she knew.
I guess, or it, like, it's just, also the whole thing of them, Mikey's pretty good in this one, he's pretty funny, of him wanting to wear shorts so that when they switch spots, I thought that was great. Okay, that's such
can we talk about that for a second though?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a hilarious moment and he's dancing and turtles are all riled up, but where is like the writing process of this moment? Because it's like they set up the idea that he's gonna wear shorts, and then Splinter goes, stop messing around, there's no time. So then three of them don't wear shorts. And then when they get swapped, what happens? They're wearing like this weird turtly underwear.
Yeah.
But like the one guy wearing shorts is not wearing it. So it's not even like trying to say like the turtles are wearing it under their shell. No, it's just like this weird like turtly underwear that they had to design because they made
it has to be has to be PG and you can't show too much skin. That's yeah. pretty much
but that's why wearing just shorts. He's wearing just shorts and no shirt. So like the other three, it's like because you made that stupid choice, you then had to go design this like hilarious makes no sense turtle underwear.
They couldn't tilt the camera upwards enough to not show their junk. So they had to make sure that they had something.
Did you notice it wasn't just like any old pajamas? Like
no, it was a weird,
like look like the turtle.
And
shells.
Then
like,
even when they went back to their normal time, they were still wearing it. That made no sense. Yeah,
yeah, it's very odd. They wrote themselves into a corner for sure.
Yeah, I picked up at the beginning, like the very first scenes, is like, hey. It's been a couple of years. Look what we can do with these suits now. And they're all doing flips and all that. And they were showing off how the suits are more. And I was just like, oh man, the suits move a lot better this week. They're going to be able to do a lot more. And they kind of were able to do a lot more like action, like less cuts in the action and all that. So I know you guys were saying about the action, like, like the action was, it seemed better. Not saying it's John Wick or anything, but it was better than the other movies. Like I noticed less cuts, longer takes and,
That's true. They could actually show the choreography rather than here's a punch and then a close up of a foot or a fist.
They were really restricted, but for some reason the first movie still works the best, even though they had those restrictions, even with everything. It's because it's the story.
I think like it gets goofy, like all the Turtles movies are goofy in their own right, but it gets goofy in Secret of the Ooze, and then this one has goofy, but it also has a mix of like they are treating feudal Japan pretty seriously. Like it starts off pretty seriously and all that. So like
it does,
it's a bit of more dramatic kind of pace to this movie. And I don't know, I kind of dug that.
Me too, man. Me too. 100%.
Like, as a kid, what drew me to this was the whole idea of the time travel, like going into the theater and, oh man, they're going back in time. Like that was awesome. And I liked that even on rewatch, but I found myself thinking about how the time travel works. Like, I think the idea that they have with the scepter works, but then they added this layer of like, we got to do it in 60 hours. I'm like, why would you ever have to do it in 60 hours? Like,
there's no reason for it. It's not like, oh, it's a full moon. Like, why didn't they just say that? Then they would have been able to like get away.
We don't come back in 2.5 days. We'll be turtle soup. I'm like, how? Like,
why? Why? Also, the explanation of them trying to figure out what it does. I wrote down what Donnie's doing on the computer. He says, I could have it off by a couple words, but he goes, if I reverse imager, I can replace the flangler. Oh, it's an equal mass displacement.
No. Oh, getting too technical, Danny.
Replace the flangler. Like the what?
Flangler, yeah. Wow.
And he's got these like, it's sort of like it reminded me of the Simpsons episode where Homer gets like obese. And it says like, oh, your fingers are too fat for this dial tone. He's typing on the keyboard and basically his whole hand is touching the keyboard every time he presses. It's like, clearly he's not getting anything done here, people. Come on. You can't fool me. He's just smacking on the keyboard. Visuals are just
we're still goofy. Kind of talking about the setup, right? So
we can jump around. I just said the setup because I thought the shorts thing was funny, and then I just remembered that.
Well,
that
there's
scene,
one aspect of this movie that I'm a little torn on, and that is
okay. Let's do it.
There's no pizza.
Actually,
you're right.
Michelangelo says, "I wonder if there'll be pizza back then." Remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Elias,
which has to make one too.
I'm probably butchering his name, but Elias Koteas. Okay, the guy who plays Casey.
Yeah.
Great to have him back. Like he was such a welcome return to form because he wasn't in Secret of the Ooze. So that was
right.
Like,
which you guys pointed out. Yeah.
Like, that was the biggest thing that was missing from that movie. So now he's back. Great. But they do stick him in the present for the entire movie. And then not only that, so I want to get your take on this and how you felt about this, but like the same actor plays Wit back in the past.
Yeah.
And he's the guy. So I feel two ways about it, right? So I feel like awesome to have him back, and he's fine as Wit too, but like obviously Casey's our guy. So I kind of wish that he was along for the journey and they just didn't do the whole Mr. Wit thing. But with the Mr. Wit thing, I will say the fact that that it was the same actor did throw me for a loop. I did not remember that he double crosses them because I totally thought, he's going to be an ally because he's the same guy. So
I honestly totally forgot he was in this movie. I forgot he was in this movie. I thought
that was the one kind of redeeming factor of their choice, but it was still a bizarre choice.
I think if they would have done some sort of like, oh, wait, that's the same actor. Oh, April is kind of obviously noticing that he's similar or looks similar, or maybe he's an ancestor. Like, she doesn't really say that. So I think if they would have had like a scene where something like that was explained, and then whether he double crossed them or not, and he said that he was, or somehow there was a way they could explain that he was an ancestor and that's why he looks similar. And then why him and April sort of have a vibe for like literally 40 seconds in the whole movie. Yeah. Then, well, okay, no, mate.
She's kind of weirded out by him, actually, it seems. But
she is, but she also, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a different actress from the first one. It's a whole other thing, right? But it's almost like they could have done something with it if they would have given it another couple of minutes.
I think so.
I think they could have made it. They could have made the excuse like, oh, even as a kid, if you notice, hey, that guy looks similar. Maybe not the same person, but to you as a kid, maybe he just looks similar. Then they could have maybe gone somewhere with it. I don't know.
I think, to Ian's point, I think it's a waste of the Casey Jones character. Like, they don't put him in his outfit. He doesn't get any fight scenes. Like, I don't know. Like, they,
it's poor, like, guy, it's tries like to have a hockey game, doesn't get it going.
Yeah, no, I love that part. It's like they had to give him this other role of the wit character to like to get the actor to like do anything interesting, right? Which is like a shame. Right. Like, this is what I said. It's like there's four turtles, four like mutant turtles, and everything else in your movie is so like grounded and like realistic. It's like,
that's true.
Guys, it's a movie about mutant turtles. Like, also, they should be fighting like Krang, like brain aliens and flies, and at the very least a Shredder. Like,
that's a good
problem.
Throw a Shredder in or two. Throw a Shredder or two.
A Shredder or three.
It's like, he's playing such a boring character in the past. Like, it's just like a regular guy who started a mutiny and betrays them. It's like, I don't know. Like,
that's an excellent point. And then I want to ask you another question. Does this movie break the canon of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the whole idea that these are four demons and they've been there before? Like,
because they had pictures of them, so maybe they. Yeah, I didn't get that either.
It's like an ancient history thing. They're trying to like make it so that maybe they're not the only ones, or in the future they've gone back further back or something.
That's what I think it is. Yeah, I think Dave's right. It's set up for a future.
I like that explanation. So like, I'll take that.
Yeah, because like, okay, so Mike, we were talking about the Turtles in Time game, for example, right? They go all over the place in time. Every level is a different time period. I think one of them is in like 4,000 and something, you know, 2,000 years from now or something. And they're in the future and Krang's there. I'm pretty sure it's that level. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it's like in the next movie or their idea of the connection, not because of the game, but just because they thought, oh, well, if they can go that far ahead, they can go that far back, and they just don't know that they've been back yet.
Oh, yeah.
That's my idea. You know, that's also a very comic booky idea, and they originate from comic books and cartoons and video games and all that stuff before this movie. So
drawings of them and all that.
I don't know. They don't really explain it, but you know, I did kind of like that. Like, you know, there was like, oh, they're demons, and they sort of have to befriend the village and the people that are, you know,
almost if they were kind of like green demons, like you'd like, I'd be like, okay, yeah, but they just like,
but they're turtles. They're clearly
like,
turtles.
It looks exactly like them. But it's like,
and they pointed out too, they're like, oh, you have Raph's beak, like, you know, making fun of his nose. It's like, okay, so I guess it's them.
Like, it is them.
It is actually them. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. Yeah, it doesn't really make sense, I guess, unless the explanation that I just randomly came up with while I was watching it. But again,
I'll take it. It's better than what I was thinking. I was thinking that means there's like another four turtles or something. I'm like, that makes no sense.
That would be, yeah. So the other thing about that, similar in a similar way, one, because it's feudal Japan, and also, you know, this history or whatever. Mike, you actually gifted me the first issue of the last Ronin Ninja Turtles run. I have not read it yet. I don't know what the story is. I'm very interested, but I wonder if there's anything in that story that comes into play in this, or if that was even written after this movie. I don't actually know. I'm only guessing because of the setting and because of like time period and stuff, but I actually have no idea if there's any similarities in the story. That's another thing that popped into my mind is, yes, this is a very corny and not amazing way of doing it, but maybe that's where they got some of these ideas from. That could be possible, or it could just be like, hey, that's a cool book. Let's do a setting. Let's make it take place in feudal Japan, and that's it. Like, that might be as far as it went, but maybe there's something.
It was in the late 80s, right, Power? So the comic.
The comic? Okay, so there you go. So it'd be a few years before. So maybe they just wanted to place the turtles in that time period. So maybe that's all it was. But
yeah, I think Dave's saying he's wondering if there's anything similar
to the comic book. Yeah, like the whole like history of them being in the past. Yeah, I wonder if that's in.
Sorry. In Last Ronin is a recent comic, right? Like 2020.
Yeah. It's recent. Yeah, I don't know if it takes place in the past. Though. I think it plays on the feudal Japan motif, like the imagery, but I think it takes place actually in the future. And
yeah, okay, that's what I thought too. Yeah. I want to point out a funny but also sort of inappropriate thing that I think it's Donnie that says it or whatever when they first
there are many inappropriate lines. Yeah.
My favorite line is when they jump in the sewer and they land in all the poo, and he's like, "Oh, spinach!" and he pulls like spinach that someone had shat out into the sewer, and it's like fully in his mouth. And I was like, kids probably thought this was hilarious. That's all I thought. Oh, 100%.
When he says, same moment, and he says, "Mud wrestling is definitely a spectator sport."
That was the joke that goes over the kids' heads. The spinach joke is for the kids, and the next one is for the adults. That's awesome.
The thing that it's either Mikey or Donnie, I'm pretty sure, when they're trying to talk to some of the guards that catch them before they go and rescue April. I think it is Donnie because he's the smart one, right? So he should know how to speak Japanese is sort of, I guess, part of the joke. But he says, "Ohio Wasabi, Suzuki Kawasaki." Like, that's his, those are his Japanese lines. I was like, this is kind of funny, but also not good.
Sounds like something Jim Carrey would say in that time frame, though. In that time.
Yeah,
frame.
Ohio Wasabi is just hilarious. And then they just sort of beat them up or whatever. Also, one of their moves multiple times in this movie is a wet willy. That's like clearly.
Yeah.
Like that is so weird.
Yeah. April, right? Awkward. She takes her robes and she rips it off to make a skirt.
Oh, yes.
Inherently, that's not even that bad. Like if she did that and the line that's was like, this heat. You wouldn't even think anything of it. But no, she literally goes, "What, guys? I'm on vacation." It's like, what? Yeah. And they're just like, "Woo!" Like, it's like, what is happening?
Oh, no, they don't say "woo." They say "schwing."
Yeah, that's right.
they say "schwing."
They say "schwing," man.
Wayne's World. Yeah.
They pull the Wayne's World, which is hilarious. And they do like, the actions with their arms and stuff. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I was like reading a little bit about the movie and some quotes and everything. So, the two creators of the Ninja Turtles, Eastman and Laird, right? Like Peter Laird apparently hates this movie, this third one. But Kevin Eastman, actually, he's the more like vocal and in the public kind of creator. He actually agrees with you guys, and he thinks that that the second one is the worst, and this one is like halfway in between, he said. So it's like between one and two.
Yeah, I'm with him.
One, two. So he says because they wanted to make something for all ages, and I guess he had problems with the second one, like we did. But I think we're all
like everybody apparently.
Yeah, I guess. But I guess we're all in agreement that the first one is the best one.
Yeah, I still think it is. Yeah, I still think it is. I mean, obviously, And the other thing too with this is I meant to mention this when you talk about Casey and stuff. I wrote this down too because like all the stuff that was back in the sewers and stuff, like like Splinter, like I don't like he does nothing. Also, he has like pretty much nothing to do in this. Everything that was back in the current time was. It was fine. Like the watching hockey thing was like, okay, I remember that. And like, that was kind of fun.
I love that part.
Because we grew up playing hockey. But like, other than that, it was,
Well,
just like they could have used that time. They could have used that if Casey went with them, let's say.
Right.
They could have used that time to do, you know, build the deeper story for the villains, if that's how they wanted the villains, or do the thing with whatever Double Cross Man his name is. You know, they could have like built that stuff up a little bit more instead of wasting 15 or 20 minutes with that. So
yeah, Mr. I don't know. Wit. Like
Wit. I was gonna say Wick, honestly. I was like the feudal Japan John Wick.
I think the present day stuff was entertaining, and maybe like they felt like they needed to, I don't know, like keep the kids' attention sometimes, because like I feel like when you spend a lot of time in feudal Japan, maybe they're, you know, maybe it's too, like, I don't know, dramatic or anything like that.
Well, it's more serious when they're dealing with that stuff, for sure. Yeah, or parts of it are anyway.
But yeah, to talk about the Splinter choice, I also kind of have to talk about the ending. So I don't know if you guys want me to save it.
Yeah, just jump forward.
Yeah, the part of the serious stuff that I actually kind of liked, like, okay, it's a little awkward because they talk funny and whatever. So when they get too close in the scene with, so the Raph and the Yoshi kid stuff, I was like, it's not bad. It's not bad. You know, I like that they sort of are, you know, like his message to the kid is, hey, you're a kid. Don't go fight, you know, go play, like things like that. Like, I feel like that is a good little thing that kids could pick up on. And then they come back to the kid a couple times.
Yeah, man. Yoshi was a little badass.
Yeah, he was pretty good, right? And
he wanted to fight, and Raph was like, no, you should not fight.
Right, which coming from Raph says something, because if you pick up on it, even as a younger kid, he's always the aggressive one. He's always the one that wants to just get things done and whatever. So he's teaching the kid the opposite of what, basically he's being Leo in that moment, I would say. Yeah. So like there's a little bit of a character moment. I thought that was kind of nice. I liked it.
He gets dark. Yoshi gets dark with Raph. He goes, he literally turns to him and says, tomorrow you might die. He's like, oh. Right.
He said, he's like, Raph, you should go play in the morning. No, wait, go play in the afternoon. Like, or something. Like, he's just.
But Raph is the best, because it's literally war times and it's feudal Japan. And he's like, don't worry, kid. Nobody's going to die.
You know, the whole village is going to be wiped out. Like,
go play with your friends or something, right?
Go play. No matter what. Yeah, he says like something like, no matter what's happening, go play with your friends. I got to find the line that I wrote down. There was a good Mikey line. So he's the one who sort of gets like taken away, not kidnapped. It's not really kidnapped because they're not the bad guys or whatever. But then like when the place is burning down, the first sort of like action scene in the village or whatever, he comes out of the hut and they like the two guards or three guards see him and he's like, wait, I'm a beautiful princess in disguise. And they all just run away. And he's like, ooh, swords. And then they come back to him again. And he goes, wait, we have to break the spell. Give me a kiss. It's really dumb. And it's really corny. Yeah. And I don't know why he needs to go with that. But I thought that was hilarious.
You know, it's interesting, because now that we're talking about Yoshi, because it's Yoshi that Michelangelo saves, right? From the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you would think they would be building that connection out through the movie. Like you would think either it'd be Raph to save him, but it doesn't make sense because Raph's not there. Actually, he is there.
No, I think they're all there.
They're all wondering why Michelangelo goes in there. Yeah. So why Mikey goes in there? So wouldn't it make sense to have Raph do that and then just start building that relationship out?
Well, as opposed Mikey. To
have Mikey do it and then have Raph have a relationship with Yoshi after.
Well, Mikey takes him out. Leo saves him, and then Raph is the one that has the relationship after with him. Who's like, Leo's the one
Mikey.
Do you Mikey takes him out of the fire.
So they all have a hand in helping.
Everyone but Donnie actually does
yeah, but I know you're saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense, yeah.
CPR scene, it just reminded me, like, every 90s movie had, like, this, like, someone was, like, dead and, like, CPR brought them back to life. Like, that's just, like, such a 90s kid.
Like, a thing. Quiet moment that just, like...
Yeah, and it's, like...
And the dialogue was great.
How CPR works at all, but...
Mitsu, Mitsu was like, you're casting an evil spell!
Yes. Also, Mitsu's the, very awkward, I would say, I don't know if it's called love interest for Mikey. He's like, no, I want to stay behind with you.
I yeah,
like,
oh, I know. God,
really?
Yeah.
Did you have to do that? That was not like you've said like five words to each other. You don't need to do that.
I mean,
you
know? Mikey, out of all the four of them, is always the one to kind of fall in love with any of the girls, right? So
it's like, I know, but it's just, again, like, this movie didn't have to be Oppenheimer.
He's the funniest turtle, that's
but. Funny. Yeah, that's yeah. I guess that's all. It is. Yeah, it didn't have to be 3 hours long, but it needed more time if they wanted to do all this stuff in it. Is really what it is.
But the turtles are in time.
We got to Then the biggest, like, honestly, I was along for the ride, but let's talk about the ending, like the climax of the movie that's building up to.
Yeah, you tease that up top.
Yeah, but it just boils down to like them trying to take out that Walker guy who's the British imperialist. They could have said something. Okay,
hold on, before you get to that, I thought, I don't know, I can't remember what the older, like the sort of elder guy's name is, but all he reminded me of, because he had a cane and he had a robe, and maybe this is just terrible of me to say it this way, I don't know, maybe I'm in the wrong here, he reminded me of a Japanese Deckard Cane from Diablo. That's what he was. Wow. And then he was just like, hey, by the way, I told him to hide the scepter so you'd stay behind. It's like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, so they would fight on their side, right?
Like,
they,
we're on your side. Just ask us, man. Clearly.
Worse. Yeah, I know.
But, but just ask us, dude. You stupid old fart. Like, what the hell?
But I kept waiting for that moment for the turtles to decide on their own to be the hero.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it never really came. Like, there's a problem throughout this trilogy, and they have the idea of like, okay, we need these turtles to go from like teenagers to like heroes by the end. But I'm left wanting in all three of them, to be honest. Like, they never quite land the plane on that message. There's always something like Splinter coming in to save them again, which happens in both the first two movies. And then you mentioned he's not really in this one. And I was fine with that because they do a lot of the legwork in this one. Mm-hmm. But then again, when we get to the end, it's almost because it's a kids movie, they can't have any of the turtles kill anybody. So they've decided we're going to let Wit, you know, do the catapult with the flaming catapult to take Walker.
Yeah, but the ending, it's like, at least the first movie, you climax into them fighting the Shredder, and you got to fight on the rooftop.
Yeah.
And the second movie, climax of them, you know, fighting the wolf Super and the Shredder. Happy Turtle. And then you got Super Shredder, which built to a climax, and then it kind of like let you down because it didn't let the fight happen. And we talked about that. That was the worst choice of the whole movie.
Right. Yeah.
This movie, like, the climax of the movie is like them facing off against that guy, that Walker guy. He's like about to try to escape into like the water with his birds, and he like has the scepter. He just like throws it, and they like, that's like the big climax of the movie. He's like, Mikey catches it. Like, he didn't throw it far enough. It's like, so ridiculous. And they all have to hold on to each other, and it's like barely out of reach. It's like he could have smashed it in a million other ways. He could have thrown it into the water. That he throws it like right at him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he should have thrown it behind him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's so painful.
I think to watch.
It's like, they're not doing, and they're supposed to be ninjas. Like, they're not doing anything interesting in the climax of the movie. They're not fighting anyone cool. They're not using their weapons.
They fight everybody before that, right? Like, that's the thing. And you're right. Yeah, like, why not both?
The movie is usually the most exciting part in most movies.
Yeah,
not this one.
I think the lighting the cannon thing, maybe. Yes, it's not an action scene, but I did find Leo stepping up and saying like, oh, if you shoot us, the bullets are going to bounce off us and hit back at you. Like, that's sort of like, he's sort of, you know, he's trying to mess with their heads a little bit. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
and April was doing that with them earlier, right?
Then when she first arrived and stuff, she's trying to do. Yeah, exactly. Actually, that's a good point. I forgot about that. So I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And then I totally forgot.
Four cool guys down and
put them in the box. which is amazing. That's so funny in the Walkman. Yeah. And then the cannon fire thing was, it's goofy, but you know, him shrinking down into the shell and then popping back up again.
That was great. Yeah.
It's a good gag. It's a pretty good gag.
Being a turtle.
He's just lucky the guy aimed like, at his head, basically, right? Like, that could have gone horribly wrong.
I just had like this crazy light bulb moment. Just about his legs out Walker. Or something. Just as light we're bulb talking Walker? About it, I'm looking at like IMDb, you know, Ninja Turtles 3. as we're talking, and it's just a crazy revelation I just had about Walker. So he's played by Stuart Wilson, and throughout the movie, they're kind of, the turtles poke fun at him because he's the bad guy. You know, they call him the Phantom of the Opera. Remember one time they go,
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, and at one time they literally say, "Hold it right there, Zorro dude." Okay, that's crazy. Because this movie came out in 93, and now looking at the guy's IMDb, not only did he play Walker, but he played Don Rafael Montero, the villain of The Mask of Zorro in 1998.
What? Oh, that was him?
Is that crazy or is that crazy? They literally called it. They're literally turtles in time, calling it 5 years early.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
That's wild.
He's familiar, but I could not place where I knew him from for sure. That's hilarious. Oh my God.
Stuart Wilson.
Yeah, there's a few good lines in this still that are good. You know, there was one that's not, I mean, it's fine. It's kind of funny where I think it's Walker. One of the guys shoots or something. And then one of them just says, "Oh no, guns. Well, there goes the neighborhood."
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
That was hilarious. Like the little threat. And a lot of these lines are dubbed over like a scene of them running or something, right? So it's something that they came up with later that they're like, "Hey, I've figured out something funny. Let's put it in," which I think has happened in all three of the movies, but it feels like there's more quips in this than like of ones like that are a little bit more like timely or whatever than the other two.
I like when Daimyo loses to Leo and Leo, he's like, "Okay, finish me," or whatever. And Leo clicks his little bun. And he's just like, "Is that short enough for you?"
And he's just like feeling it like, eh. Or when the cannon blows over the bell or whatever that he's under. And he's all like, you know, his hair's he's all like, funny.
Hey,
and
Don King. Yeah.
Don King. Yes.
I was like, "Oh, wow. Did kids know who that was?" And like soon people will not get that reference, but that's hilarious.
No, 100%. Yeah. Even now, there's probably lots of people that wouldn't know who that is. Yeah. That, I mean, like things like that are clever, you know, and I think they probably have ideas of things like that. I bet they like watch the footage. And someone said in the editing room, like, "Hey, that looks like Don King." And then they just put that in as like a dub afterwards. Like an and that's totally fine. Like, "Hey, dude that plays Raph, get back in the booth and say this line." Like, that's probably what they did.
I was dying when Donatello was like, "I think I swallowed a frog," or "I think I swallowed a turtle," or something. "I hope it's not an ancestor." I was just like, "This guy swallowed a turtle? Like, he is a turtle. That's like turtle cannibalism. In this, like, kids movie." It was like a frog or a turtle or something.
He erases himself Back to the Future style.
All of a sudden, like, Leo just disappears. Goes, boop. Just gone.
Speaking of that, like, some of these lines even went over my head even on rewatch. Like, please explain this one to me if you know what they're talking about. When they're making a run for it at the end, right before April's like, "Oh, guys, we have an egg timer to catch." Someone, I think it's Mikey, goes, "Smells like a geek ran through here." I was like,
The originate, when I heard that, I was like, that's a weird thing to say. But then I remembered a geek used to be like someone that was in the carnival. Right. That was like the original
fight a head off a chicken or whatever.
Yeah, they were basically someone who had mental health issues, was usually homeless, and they would give them food and a quote unquote place to stay as part of the traveling carnival. And they would basically be the butt of the joke and make them do crazy things. And they wouldn't wash them. They would be very like, run down people. They would basically be like the freak show.
He might as well have said like bomb or something else. Like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So they said geek because it's sort of like a throwback of like a, 1700s traveling carnival kind of like basically the person would be a freak show is sort of like the quote unquote, like maybe word that. So that's where geek comes from initially, is someone who would be like an outcast essentially. Mm. So
interesting.
So that's what that one would be.
Three geeks on a pod.
And nothing has changed.
Smells like a couple of geeks ran through here.
We're going to bring it back. That's what we should do.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I noticed that.
Oh, too, my right? God. Also, towards the beginning when he said, like, the whole swallowed a turtle thing, I think that was towards the beginning when they first, like, fall off the horses or whatever. Is it Mikey that's backwards on the horse when he's riding around?
Yeah.
They're all just like, oh, how do we use this? Oh, mine doesn't have a steering wheel. And he's like, oh, yeah, mine doesn't even have a head. Like, he doesn't even realize that he's the opposite way.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I mean, you know, they're childish jokes, but that's why I think I felt like I had fun with it, was because those little things, yeah, they don't make the movie great, but I don't think the movie was trying to do something different. Whereas I think with the second one, I wasn't there when you guys recorded the full episode, but I definitely listened to what you guys said. It feels like they were trying to do more. Yeah, it was goofy and everything, but it felt like they were trying to do like extra stuff with it, and none of it landed for me in the second one. Whereas with this, every once in a while, I was like, "Oh, I get that. Oh, I get this. I get." And I don't know. It just sort of, it's not perfect. You're right. It doesn't come together at the end, especially as well as it could. There's no doubt about
it
that.
It has the same problems for me as the second one, and it has less of the. I don't know. Less of the. It's like more serious and almost less of the fun. I find the second one more fun, actually, to be honest, which is why I would have it ahead.
Yeah, and, it's fair.
I've said my biggest issues with it. So,
I think for me, it's like I didn't, as a kid, I had no issues with the aesthetics of Secret of the Ooze, but I couldn't get past some of the ridiculousness of the fake Bebop and Rocksteady, or the Bebop and Rocksteady stand-ins, let's call them. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But I don't know. It's just like, I guess because like one of the negatives that you're saying, Power, on this one is that there's no mutants that they're fighting, but that also means that there's like less like glaring. Like if it had been mutants that weren't up to standard, then it would have brought the movie down, in my opinion. So like, we get a lot of cool, like, feudal Japan action in this one, and I think the fights are better, even though throughout all three of these films, like, the turtles aren't allowed to actually kill anybody, so it's like, it's always just kind of banging around and whatever, but, like, you know, it's a kid's movie, so you can kind of forgive it for that, but I thought the action choreography was a lot better than in Secret of the Ooze, and probably even the first one, to be honest.
I mean, the first one, I think, like Mike was saying earlier, is the limitations of what they could do with the suits, what they could do with the camera work. It was a very much an indie movie that was made, I think, like we said, I think when I pulled it up, it was like it was made in like 10 days or something crazy like that. Like,
yeah,
fair enough, you know. But the storytelling in the first is still what stands out, you know. Yes, you want these movies, I think, to be, you know, for kids, but there's something about that first one that, yeah, you could have fun with it as a kid, but really when you watch it as a teenager or as an adult, like we are, like older now, like they did a lot with it when they really could have just made it a cartoon, essentially, which is what especially 2 and 3 really are.
Yeah.
The tonal shift between 1, 2, and 3 is just, from 1 to 2, it's just, it's wild what they did. I don't understand why they did it, because the first one made so much money on such a tiny budget, and then they just made less and less.
They whipped it out in a year. Inside of a year. So they were just looking for that fast cash.
And this was only like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. Yeah, more toys. Exactly. So I don't know. I still enjoyed it. You know, I thought I like you guys, I thought I was actually going to just really dislike it. But the fun aspects and some of the stuff that I pointed out made me still enjoy it. So overall, I'm happy with the trilogy with these three movies, I would say, because 2 out of 3 I enjoyed. And that's more than you can say for a lot of, I guess, quote unquote trilogies. Yeah. But, you know, okay. So now that we're past these three, we sort of have our ranking. I think, Mike, yours would be 1, 2, 3, sort of in that order. Sure. Ours, me and Ian, at least for me anyway, I'm 1, 3, 2. Same. Yeah. Are there three of the more modern ones or just 2? There's just 2, right?
There's 2 by Michael Bay, but there's an animated one called TMNT that came out in the early 2000s. That's actually a continuation of this trilogy.
Okay, so
the universe of this trilogy. Yeah.
We have more turtles to catch up on. Yes, Mutant Mayhem has hit theaters. Yes, We will get to that. We will talk about it, but we're going to probably do that last because we want to get through all these other movies first. So we have three more to get to over the course of the next couple of months, and we'll be getting to those. And you know, whether they're good or not, we're going to put ourselves.
I'm worried we've hit the high. I'm worried we've already hit the high point.
I think we hit the high a couple months ago, Mike.
We'll see. That TMNT movie, I remember seeing it in theaters and really liking it. I
know they introduced the fifth turtle, right? Female turtle?
No, they do in the TV show.
I think they do in the show at one point, yeah. But it's apparently that show's pretty well done. It's like, you know, the CGI show. And
yeah,
so
after this, you know, these movies, they did a show with the puppets, a live-action show. And
yeah.
They had a female turtle called Venus de Milo or something like that. Like, it was still like... And then she was, like, all mystic, kind of had, like, magic. So it was a cool idea. And then they made... When they made the TMNT animated movie, it's like the creator, again... I think it was Laird. He like hated the female character and wouldn't let them put her in the animated movie. So it's kind of like the TV show kind of exists in its own thing and is not in the continuity. So we don't have to.
Right.
You know, it's funny watch you TV say.
Shows. It's like a bunch of episodes. That
it's funny you say mystic. So funny you say mystic because like there's this idea that Mikey, for whatever reason, he's the goofiest of the four, but he was the one who wanted to stay behind and like
yeah,
a little that bit also more felt... than meets the eye with him and like. I'm teasing a little bit because I told you, Mike, that I watched Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I haven't seen the series, but I watched the movie, which came out in 2022.
It's an animated movie.
And there's an interesting arc with Mikey, and it deals with like time travel and everything. Or actually, they exist in the future, so it's like a futuristic TMNT kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, so it's interesting the idea that you know there is a bit of mysticism to the turtles. Like in the first one, they talk about like spirituality and everything. So.
Yeah,
it's interesting that there could be more that they could do with the storylines and stuff like that going forward.
Yeah, I mean let's I mean obviously the new movie we haven't seen it yet as we're sitting here it's only been out for like the 24 hours or something that as of us recording this, but you know it none of this stuff has to take place all in the same timelines or whatever and all this kind of stuff. We don't have to get into all that stuff. So, but we'll watch those other movies and then we'll watch Mutant Mayhem. It's all going to be part of our sort of. Thing of going back and watching all the turtles, so stick with us as we watch those and we recap them. Like you said, Mike, we may have already hit our peak of the mountain from at the beginning, we'll see. But we'll see. Yeah. Maybe we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, it's not all downhill from here. Hopefully,
always
we have a little bit of
rewatch,
a
rewatch. Right? It's always different on rewatch.
Exactly.
It's a long time.
And I've only seen the first Michael Bay Turtles movie, and I remember not enjoying it, but that's. Also because I hadn't seen a Turtles movie since these and hadn't rewatched them in God knows how long. So there could be a lot of stuff, but we'll wrap stuff up and we will be back with more Turtles in the future. So stick with us. Also, Mike and Ian talked about The Flash. Stay tuned for that as well. So catch that on the feed.
Uh-oh. I think that's in another timeline.
Is it?
Okay. It's Flashpoint universe.
But yeah, more turtles to come. Mike, where can everyone keep up with our goods?
On social media, our handle is @daybackin. Just look for us on whatever social media you use. And the podcast is called Back in My Day on your podcast app of choice. And we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/backinmyday, where we review weekly the Disney Plus, Marvel, and Star Wars TV shows. We took a little break from doing that, but we're getting back at it with Secret Invasion. Me and Ian did it in like chunks of two, and we're going to try to do it again for the Ahsoka series. So that would be a good time to get back into the Patreon if you want to hear our thoughts after each episode of that.
Yeah, nice. Amazing, man. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Mike, thanks for being here. Ian had to bounce, but all good. We got our Turtles time in, and we'll talk to everybody soon. See you later.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up.